You should have, we've gone through welcome, Cap Rock Canyons, plains and prairies, and now we're going to click on wildlife. And Vicki Seibert is going to come talk to with us about wildlife on the prairies and plains. And she's getting mic'd up. She's going to talk about the dynamic nature of the prairie ecosystems. And we're going to have some fun questions for her, too. Maybe she can answer that Texas Chainsaw Massacre question. You digging out some stuff here?
I've got to unbag my buffalo grass sod.
Your buffalo grass sod.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Hi, Vicki.
Hi.
How are you?
Glad to be here.
We've got West Virginia, Tennessee, and New Hampshire watching. No, Idaho. Idaho, West Virginia, Tennessee, and all of Texas.
Super. Thanks for joining in.
Okay, so you should have up on your screen by now, Wildlife on Prairies and Plains, and here's a photograph. Do you want to talk about the photographs, or you want to talk about your sod?
Let's do a little bit at a time.
Okay.
One of the things that I think is real important about prairies and plains that you know that it's not just flat, and we do have some very special animals and some very special plants that are native to those spots. It's not completely dry, and it's not completely desert-like. We have a lot of variation and a lot of variety, both in topography and just in the kinds of features that you can find out there. This first picture shows what is called a playa lake. And a playa lake is just a small, shallow lake. They're wonderful because animals that do not swim can actually use water from these sources. A lot of birds, many, many birds, Canada geese, snow geese. We have large numbers of migrant waterfowl that visit those playa lakes. One of the important things that we need to talk about today is shown on that second picture, which is just how important the buffalo was to the whole prairie ecosystem. The next picture then shows what rolling prairie looks like. It's not just flat. You have lots of up and down, gently rolling terrain. And then we have a prairie oasis. Just like. Absolutely. And look at all of those. Those are a mixture of ducks, mostly mallards, a lot of black ducks, also a lot of Canada geese there coming in, leaving. That is at a very large playa lake that's just a little bit north of the Amarillo area. Now, let's talk about some of those questions before we really go into the grasses.
Okay. Let's see, Christina, Chelsea, and Megan also want to know, scientifically speaking, what is the atomic mass of a bison?
Okay, now we can address that from several issues, Christine and Megan.
Chelsea, too.
And Chelsea, I'm hoping that you're a chemistry student, and if you are chemistry students right now, you have an idea of how to calculate atomic mass. Knowing several pieces of information and having your atomic chart ready and handy, about 65% of every buffalo is going to be made up of water. And you know that water is H2O, so calculate your two hydrogens and your oxygen, and you should be able to find at least 65% of that atomic mass. The other should be a little bit heavier. Take about probably the other 35% are going to be heavier things, like calcium for the bones. You're also going to find some small micronutrients, iron, selenium, those kinds of things. Take a mixture, heavy on the calcium end, about 20% calcium, about 65% water, and that should give you an idea. Maybe add another 10% and you'll have a rough estimate of that atomic mass. Now, whenever you get that calculated, make sure and log back in and tell us what your numbers are, because I want to know what the atomic mass is of a bison.
Okay, so you guys are gonna call us back, right, and tell us what that the answer is.
We want to know.
Okay, here's another question. Can you ride a bison? That's from Justin and Billy.
Interestingly enough, there are people who actually train bison just as if you would train an oxen or a horse or a longhorn cow. Well, it's kind of a novelty thing. If you go to the Stampede in Canada, the Calgary Stampede, they do have several folks there that train buffalo, train bison, and they get on them, and they can actually ride them. They ride them around the rodeo arena. Buffalo Jones, who was one of the founders with Charles Goodnight, he also had a buffalo team. So he had them hooked to a wagon, and he would take them around all over the Oklahoma panhandle area and have this team. So yes, it's very possible. It takes a lot of patience because they're huge animals,
mm-hmm.
very, very strong, and you would have to start whenever they were very, very young. I don't think you could take an old buffalo and
can't
make
teach
it.
Can't teach new tricks, huh?
I think that's the way it goes.
Okay. Are we on our second set of photographs here?
If we're through with questions, we can go to that next set.
Okay. Click on number 2 at the bottom of your computer screen, and you'll follow along with the wildlife on prairies and plains. There's a baby bison calf.
This is
he can't weigh that much.
No. This is probably about a couple of month old calf, probably somewhere around that 75 to 100 pound stage. Interesting behavior for the mothers. The cows are very, very protective of those calves. We have to make sure that whenever we have them out in the pen that we don't get between that cow and the calf, because they are very, very protective of their young.
Mm-hmm.
So they're good mothers, and that herding instinct that you see there in the bottom with the running group is also a protective mechanism that goes along with the behavior of the herd. The older animals, whenever they're moving, the older animals go to the outside. The younger animals are usually to the inside.
Okay.
And this is sort of a misconception here, and let's clarify that. One of the things that you always see in the movies, that you always see on TV, is this rolling, running herd that are just taking off, going 25 miles an hour and setting up dust and everything. That would not be a wise thing for a herd animal to do, to run all the time. They don't. They usually walk real slow, and as they walk along, they're going to be eating and nibbling on stuff like this. Buffalo grass. Right. So I'm going to try to pull some of this out and keep from making a huge dirt clod
on top of Billy.
On top of the table. Exactly. But this is buffalo grass. It only gets about 6 inches tall. And you know, I remember my dad always would tell me, it's time to mow the yard. So, but if I mow the yard, then it'll just grow again. But that's the cool thing about buffalo on the prairie. As they slowly walk through, disturbing the ground with their hooves, and also eating, grazing, nipping it off, then it was ready for new stuff to come back. And this was the way the prairie was replenished. Notice that this makes a real nice, tight root mass. For those of you that are, say, in 7th grade biology or 9th grade or 10th grade biology, remember that grasses have fibrous root systems, so they're going to set up a whole layer of turf. Now we'll talk about this a little bit later, because this became very important for pioneers settling the prairie for several different reasons.
Is this why the bison were a keystone species?
Sure, exactly. That's where that term comes in. The bison came through, trampled, these little seed pods then became planted, and it would fill in
mm-hmm.
and form a solid turf.
Where did you pick this up at? Just on your way in?
We have buffalo grass all over the rolling and high plains. This is real typical of what would be termed short grass prairie.
Okay.
Because you're only looking at 6 inches or less. Let's run to a next couple of pictures and pull those up.
Okay, we're scrolling down, we're passing up running herd.
Okay, there's a nice typical cow picture. She has some rounded horns. Most of these animals don't really use their horns for fighting. It's more of a threat, but if they have to use them,
mm-hmm.
they
yeah.
do.
So cows have horns.
Cows have horns, so the females have horns and the males have horns. Both. That's not the same for all of our animals that are horned. You know, some of them like deer.
Mm-hmm.
The males have antlers and the females don't.
Here's a blank picture. I'm not sure what...
Okay. Those were two bulls that were fighting. They become very, very aggressive during the breeding season that usually occurs early summer as soon as it starts getting warm, late May, June, July. Here's one of our typical cow and calf pairs. And a little bit of that herding behavior. Notice that they all try to go the same direction, which is good if you're not going to be trampled. Now, this is kind of an interesting picture.
Follow the leader.
We also have a misconception that these are a big thronging mass of, or a steaming mass of hide and hair, and that it's boiling and churning and you can't see identify specific animals. What we have noticed about the bison as they travel, they usually trail. So they'll have a lead animal, usually an older female, and she takes the lead, and she will be followed, and they may string out for long, long trails. And if the leader goes through a fence, they all go through the fence, which is what this picture is showing. This is one of the reasons why ranchers in the late 1800s saw these as a real threat to fencing their land, because the buffalo could come through and just wipe out a whole fence. Do you want to go to the next section, or do we want to answer some questions?
Well, here, answer a question while I click on number
okay.
three.
Catch me off guard here.
Jake, Jeremiah, and David want to know, how much do they weigh and how fast can they move at that weight? And can you approach
okay.
the bison? How close?
Okay. Are we talking, I'm assuming that we're talking wild bison here. Let's answer the approach question first, and then we'll talk about weight and speed.
Okay.
We don't get out of the truck, do we, Karen?
No, I've been
These are wild animals, so whenever we go out and feed them, and especially whenever they have young, we would not get out of the truck. These are wild animals. Now, if they have been raised as domestic animals, then that's sort of a different story. But from those domestic breeders that I know, they still keep their guard up, because you never know whenever one might, even if they accidentally turn their head and flip a horn in your direction, they could knock you against the wall and you wouldn't even realize, or they might have not even been doing it on purpose. Okay, how much do they weigh? Are you talking little or are you talking big? You didn't tell us how old. Babies, 35 to 50 pounds at birth. And then they start growing and gaining weight rapidly. I'm assuming that you're talking and you're wanting to know the big end of the scale. So, Jake, Jeremiah, and David, if you're talking about a large adult cow, that can be anywhere from 1,000 to 1,600 pounds. For a large mature bull, that can be anywhere from 1,800 up to possibly 2,500. And that depends upon the conditions that they were raised in, whether they had good food all the time, and also a little bit of genetics, whether they were a really strong stock. Now, how fast can they move? They have been compared to freight trains, and Karen has seen them freight training along, and they can do as much damage as a freight train. So probably at top speed, 20 miles an hour to 25 miles an hour. But that would be spurty. One of the things that we have noticed just in watching some of the behaviors, they'll be able to travel at about 10 miles an hour for long, long periods of time. So you may spot them at one site, and then an hour later, they can be way on down the road or way on down across the prairie.
We might not get through all of these photographs.
Okay,
we've got about 5 minutes
fine.
Left. And,
that's fine.
But do you want to talk a little bit about the
We've
wildlife?
Got some special creatures here. And, well, let's address this tall grass, short grass issue.
Okay.
Okay?
That
this
would be
is
tall?
Actually, no, actually, this is mid. This is mid. This is sand blue stem. This is off of the park. I pulled it up last night just so that you'd have a look at what a clump grass looks like compared to a turf grass. Sand blue stem is one of the ones that, if we have good rain, like last year, it can get as much as 3 feet tall. And then, if it gets shorter, short rain, then it's about this size. But this is the one that people talk about a lot of times in the history books.
This is the one that you pick and chew on, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We're being encouraged.
How
to
about
some
more questions?
Here's a good one. How old do bison grow to be?
Also, depending upon the quality of their habitat, bison have been known at age 20 to still be able to give birth. So we have, there are records of cows that are 20 years old that are still bearing young. We have several bulls. I think we have a bull that might be as much as 13 years old. So about the same as cattle, except for a little bit lengthier.
And they start giving birth when?
Maturity is usually at around 2.5.
Okay, so that's a lot of years.
Sure. And they would only have probably one young per year, much like cattle.
How many different types of bison are there? This is TNAB. I may have mispronounced your name. I'm sorry.
Okay. Actually, there's two subspecies, the wood bison, found in more wooded areas. Makes
hence
sense.
Hence the name.
And then our plains bison, which are a little bit different. There is some genetic difference between those two. The wood bison may be a little bit larger. But those are the two basic types.
Okay. And how much food does a bison consume in a day?
Well, once again, that depends on how big the bison is. Just like folks, little folks don't eat quite as much as big folks, but right now the supplemental feed, we're looking at several pounds of supplemental feed a day, plus quite a bit of hay also, probably about 5 pounds of hay. It's real important right now that we give them as much as they want.
And then Jeff had mentioned earlier, if they're out on the prairies, it's about 40 acres per bison.
Right.
That they would need habitat.
So whatever that biomass is of 40 acres,
we're waiting
it's
on that
what
answer,
they would
by
be
way.
Utilized.
All right, we have about a minute left, and,
okay.
And I just want to encourage everyone out there that we didn't. There's a
to
lot of photographs.
Flip through the pictures. Let's go over to that very last set.
Okay, we're going to scroll down to the bottom of the screen, and
we've got some animals, we've got some plants, but we're going to go over to 5. This is what the prairie looked like around 1900. Not a lot of vegetation on it. It was just short grass, solid short grass. Let's go on down, because one of the things that we need to look at is the third picture there that shows some of our guys out there with a fire. Fire happened as a natural event. It usually happened in the summertime, and it was usually because of a lightning strike. We are trying to mimic that by actually burning different patches of grasses, burning it off, and we get wonderful new lush growth coming out.
Lush growth.
And I think the last one shows our nice restored prairie out at Caprock Canyon State Park. So you do get to see the variety, that there's a lot of different colors and a lot of different heights.
Okay. Okay, well, we're out of time and we need to move on, but
there's
so much more
we
can talk about. And please, everyone out there, if you want to go through, if you have time later, go through the pictures. There's a link at the bottom of the picture page, and you can go back and look at all of these pictures, and you can always ask more questions.